I want us this morning then to look together at the verses that we read from Luke chapter 19, the very well-known story, the very well-known incident of the entry into Jerusalem, one that I'm sure we have all learned from our earliest days in Sunday school. And it was truly an audacious event, wasn't it? When you think about what happened, the city of Jerusalem filled with people, and the Lord Jesus coming and his entry had all the spectacle of a visiting king, visiting a capital and a conqueror. The people cried out, were told, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Verse 38. Now, there's no doubt, of course, that the people in Jerusalem, most of the people had in mind of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, who spoke there of a king coming, riding upon a donkey, riding upon a colt. And there was no doubt, that in the minds of the disciples, the Lord Jesus was the one that they were waiting for, the Messiah, a day of celebration, a day whenever he entered in to take control, to conquer really, or to rule in his kingdom. And so the great cheer went up because in a sense he was claiming his kingdom. No more going about secretly. Do you remember earlier on in the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus had gone away at different times into the wilderness, gone away from people, and he had said, "My time has not yet come." He didn't want anyone to make a spectacle at that time. But now on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem, his time had come. But the Pharisees weren't too happy. They, of course, wanted to stop this all. They wanted to stop this parade that was taking place. But Jesus wouldn't rebuke the people. He said in verse 40, "If they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out." A proverbial saying. If they keep quiet, then the stones will cry out. But then I want you to notice what happened after that. We keep thinking of the Palm Sunday, we keep thinking of the celebration, we keep thinking of the people throwing down their cloaks and the palm branches and so on, and the shouting and so on. But look at what happened from verse 41 onwards. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." He wept over it. What a contrast. Earlier on in the day, it was Hosanna, Hosanna. But now there is weeping. What had happened? Well, you see, the Lord Jesus reaches that point in his journey when he's able to look down at the city and its buildings, and they're all clearly visible. And you can picture this scene, the people all gathered and the Lord Jesus coming into the city, and he bursts into tears. He bursts into tears. What a contrast. What a contrast. The triumphal entry, and then weeping and sorrow. So why did this happen? Why did this happen? You know, sometimes whenever in the city, whenever I was driving about, occasionally I would have gone up round by the airport road, the Horseshoe Bend up over the mountain. And if you stop, of course, and look out over Belfast, it always made me think at times of what the Lord Jesus was doing as he looked out over the city. If you go to those places in Belfast, you can look the whole city over. And Jesus looked it over. Well, why did he weep? Because the Savior contrasts what is now with what shall be. He knows the awful end of this city. Here it is in all its beauty. Here it is full of people. But there'll be another day coming, and a day coming soon, whenever the city will be a ruin. The city will be destroyed. Thousands and thousands of people will be massacred. A terrible day Why the tears then? Why the tears? Because the Lord Jesus knows, he sees the final end of Jerusalem. And that would happen in 35 years' time under the rule of the Roman Emperor Titus. So why then, why, even more so, why did Jesus weep? Well, really, it was because he had a great love for the city. He had a great love for men and women who rejected him. He had a great love for those who inhabited the city, and he knew their hearts, he knew their cruelty, he knew their stubbornness, he knew their hatred of him. He knew that before the week would end, he would be nailed to a cross. They've been crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And yet the Lord Jesus weeps over the city, filled with sorrow for those who hated him. Behold what love, what manner of love the Lord Jesus had for Jerusalem, for the people. And that's what I want us to think about especially this morning, really. The love of the Lord Jesus for men and women who are lost. The love of the Lord Jesus for sinners. You see, these people had no thought of him. No thought for him. They had no concern for the things of God, and yet his heart was filled with sorrow as he looked out over the city. You know, no one can ever say that the Lord Jesus was not filled with love for sinful men and women. No one can ever say the Lord Jesus didn't care for me. It's evident here, you see, that he cared so deeply. We know that he told the story of the shepherd, the good shepherd, going after the sheep that was lost. He told the rich young man who said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him what to do, and it was too much for the young man, and he went away. And what do we read? Jesus was filled with sorrow because he went away, because he loved him. He loved him. How often Jesus said, "You would not come unto me that you might have life. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How could anyone ever say Jesus didn't love the people, the sinful people around him? It was amazing love. No one will be able to say that he was unwilling to save them. You know, sometimes you read of people or hear of people and they would almost say, but sure, the Lord Jesus didn't, he passed me by. Well, listen, the Lord Jesus didn't pass you by. You rejected him if you've turned away from him. You rejected him if you've turned away from him. He's willing to save all those who come unto him. He wept over those who hated him. And the Lord Jesus is filled with love for each one today. Each one. So what is your attitude to him? What is my attitude to him? I wonder, as he looks upon someone in this house this morning, is there still sorrow in his heart because he sees someone who still refuses to come to him? Someone who still refuses to open their hearts to him? Someone who still refuses to have nothing to do with him? Is that the case? But listen, if that's the case, think of his love. Think this incoming week of Calvary. Think of this incoming week of Jesus getting every day coming nearer to the cross. Think of the greatness of his love as he was nailed to the cross. Is your heart not moved with love for him? Is your heart not moved with love for him? But secondly, I want you to think how great, whenever you think of the Lord Jesus weeping out over Jerusalem, how great is our love for those who are lost? How great is our love for those who are lost? The Savior wept over the city. what the disciples think as they watched him. I wonder, were they embarrassed? What's he weeping for? He's been riding in and the people have been shouting, Hosanna. He's been riding in as a king. What's he weeping for? But here he is in tears. Would they have been embarrassed, uncomfortable? But you see, they did not see what he saw. They saw a city full of people. They, as far as they could see, the city was welcoming him. He just had to go in and take really, you know, he was the king coming into the city. Here was a great opportunity. Enter and take possession. And yet the Savior wept. He wept as he looked out over the city. Because he saw the sin of that city. And there's no indication that the disciples shared his concern. So let me ask you this morning, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a Christian, what concern have you? What concern have you for those who are lost? What concern have you for our modern cities and the peoples? People who are careless, people who are indifferent, what concern have you for them? You know, J.C. Ryle was a great Anglican bishop, and the Bishop of Liverpool way over 100 years ago. And he said this. He said, we know very little of true Christianity if we do not feel a deep concern about the souls of unconverted men. Now let me repeat that. We know very little of true Christianity if we do not feel a deep concern about the souls of unconverted people. And you see, the Lord Jesus wept over the city because he knew what lay in store for Jerusalem. The awful destruction and the death that it would soon suffer. But what about us, you see? What about us? Surely if you're a Christian today, you know what lies before people without Christ. What lies before a person without Christ? Depart from me, I never knew you. Do we believe in hell? Well, I believe in hell. And what lies before it? Not so long ago, I was a youngish man, just in his 60s, died. He drank himself to death. And his sister, a godly woman, and her lament was, as far as she could see, he died without Christ. Her heart was broken. He died without Christ. What concern have we got for people who do not know the Savior? Who do not know the Savior? People, if they died at this moment, would hear those awful words, depart from me, I never knew you. What caused the Savior to weep was the knowledge that these men and women bustling about in the city and buying and selling. And the next day he went into the temple and they were buying and selling in the temple so much that he drove them out of the temple. But he knew that very soon the awfulness, that most dreadful anguish would take place. Do we really care? Let me ask you, do we really care if men and women are on the way to hell or not? Do we pray for them? Do we pray for them? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. David cared. The great psalmist of Israel, he cared. He said, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because men keep not thy law. And Paul cared in Romans chapter 9. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow for my brethren. My heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. Do you ever feel like that? My heart's desire is that the people around Le Cumper would be saved. No, not the Savior, that the people around Macrafelt would be saved. The people in our land would be saved. My heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. And the Lord Jesus wept. He wept. Are we concerned? Are we concerned? You know that great hymn, maybe we don't sing very often now, but rescue the perishing, care for the dying. And the two lines in it, it says, weep o'er the erring one, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Am I concerned enough to pray? Am I concerned enough to make the gospel known, to help others, to help the missionaries to go out and make the gospel known? Am I concerned enough to help others? Again, Charles Wesley, in one of his great hymns, he said, I would the precious time redeem and longer live for this alone, to spend and to be spent for them who have not yet my Savior known, who have not yet my Savior known. And Wesley, his desire was to spend the time, and longer live for this alone, that men and women would come to Christ, men and women would turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. The Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. But I want you to notice that the city is accountable. It tells us, he said in verse 42, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. If you only had known on this day what would bring you peace. You see, the people should have known. They should have known. This is Jerusalem. This is a city that where the temple was. This is a city where they heard the Old Testament scriptures. They knew that the Messiah was coming. But they didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know who Jesus was. You see, they were looking for a king, weren't they? They were looking, Jesus should have been on a big white horse, shouldn't he? Jesus should have had a big sword. That's what they thought. If he had come into the city like that, if he had come in with the troops all in step behind him and driven the Romans out, that's what they were looking for. But that's not what Jesus came to do. That's not what he came to do. But they had no excuse. They had no excuse. Isaiah spoke of him. Jeremiah spoke of him. Micah spoke of him. Zechariah spoke of him. The message was that one would come and rule in righteousness. One who would rescue men and women from sin and reconcile them to God. That's what Jesus came to do. They were accountable. And Jerusalem ought to have known, and so men and women ought to have known today, ought to know today. Now somebody might say, but look, I didn't know. Can anyone in this house today say, I didn't know? Can anyone say, I didn't know why Jesus came? You know, every one of us, none of us can stand up and say, look, I was ignorant of this all. You know that Jesus came to seek and to save sinners. You know that you're a sinner and he came to seek and to save people like you and me. And there's to be no excuse. We can't stand up and say, I didn't know. And how important it is that we don't simply let things drift on and say, I don't understand, I don't care. We are responsible, we're accountable, and we are told to seek the Lord while he is to be found and to call upon him while he is near. Take time to find out indeed that these things are true. But notice in verse 44, another thing that took place as Jesus spoke about here. He spoke about their day of visitation. He says, they will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, the time of their visitation. Now, whenever you think about it, like I have met some very hard men in my time. I'm sure of you have too. Men who were dying, and you tried to talk to them about the gospel and they just shook their head at you. No time for Jesus. No time for Jesus. But these people, you think of what they had seen, what they had heard. Jesus, the very Son of God, he'd come into their midst. The greatest miracles that ever had been done in history had been done in Jerusalem and its districts. The child that was dead made alive. The widow of Zarephath's son Jesus went and touched and he got up. People who are crippled, people with all types of illnesses. These had all been done in and around Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus had called men and women to repentance in that city. What other city had received so much? What other city had so many miracles done, had been pointed so clearly to the Messiah than Jerusalem? Nothing could be clearer. Jesus came, and yet they rejected him. They did not know the day of God's visitation. They understood not the day of his coming. And you see the awful destruction recorded here in verses 43 and 44. The city would be destroyed, which took place, as I've said, about 35 years later in AD 70. But at this very time, the Lord Jesus had been in their midst. This was their day of visitation. It was their day of opportunity. And they rejected it. And they rejected it. You know, I often think sometimes of people who sit in services of worship like this, people who know that they need Christ and they still haven't trusted Christ. And they go out every Sunday, day after day. And the person knows so well he or she needs to turn from a sin and to seek the Savior, for God is speaking to them. Speaking to them so clearly. And yet they go on. I will not have this man to rule over me. I will not have this man to rule over me. And the years pass, the weeks pass, or the months, the weeks, and the years pass so quickly, as somebody said, yesterday I was 16, tomorrow I'm 76. Just as quick as that. And there's no more time. And there's no more time. And they hear the awful cry, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You know, will that person remember their day of their visitation? Will they remember the day they sat in this house or some other house and heard so clearly, Luke, Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only Savior. Will they remember? But they turned away from Jesus. They turned away from Jesus. They turned away on the day of their visitation. Oh, do we each one understand today that God by His Spirit is speaking so clearly? Will we come to Him if we haven't opened our hearts to Him? Will we come to Him? Will we trust Him? Will we not turn away from Him again, but cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, a sinner. Jesus came in on a donkey, and the people shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But whenever he got to the city and he looked over it, he wept. He wept. Why? Because he saw people who were rejecting him. People who didn't want really anything to do with him. What about us today? What about us? A day of contrast, wasn't it? A day of contrast. Triumphal procession. But then there's the weeping. 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 Is there truly joy in your heart because you love Jesus? Is there? Is there truly joy in your heart because you love Jesus, because you trusted in Jesus? But as well as that, if you love Jesus, is there not a burden in your heart that you want to see others coming to know Jesus too? That you want to see others coming to know Him too? A burden for those who are lost. This is the day of God's calling. This is the day of God's visitation. Speaking to every one of us today. Jesus wept over the city. He's calling everyone today. Will you come to me? Come to me, he says. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Don't turn your back on Jesus. Don't turn your back on Jesus. Let us pray.